You're listening to another life-transforming message from Awakened Church with campuses in San Diego and Salt Lake City. To find out more about us, go to awakenedchurch.com.
A little inappropriate. Oh, well, can't be worse than the dances at the beginning, but anyway. Oh, hello. You look familiar. I think I've seen you before. I'm so glad you're here, though. I'm just a little bit nervous about Cherish Night tonight. What do you mean I should be nervous? You know what, that's so true. Those awakened girls, they're a scary bunch. Maybe I should think twice. I think you make a good point. Staying home tonight may be a better idea. I mean, they are doing that fixer-upper marathon, and perhaps, I mean, it would be safer, wouldn't it? Oh, yes. And, you know, I'm not feeling my best, if I'm honest. I've put on a bit of weight, and I know how judgy women can be. You know, the whole thing of, like, the awakened girls are all so beautiful. You know, and there's people, they say that they have a muffin top. Well, mine's kind of progressed to a layer cake. And the last thing I want to do is be anywhere near that Michaela Hubbard with that body. I mean, Lord have mercy. I mean, I feel like it's a little much, if I'm honest with you. I'm glad you agree with me. I was just thinking about it, you know, just the stress, and it's just not worth it. And I mean, you're so right about the Cherish Conference too. I mean, I could register, and I mean, I'm a little bit excited. Kim Walker Smith's coming. She's one of my favorites, and Pastor Kwacha. Awakened Church's own Diana Ross, especially with her new hair. She looks amazing. It's so long. I mean, I could register, but it could be disappointing. And then I will have spent the money, and who knows what's going to happen between now and the beginning of October. I could die. And then I will have spent all that money for nothing, which would be absolutely horrible, I think. And, you know, all those women, it just scares me, if I'm honest. Yes, I mean, you're right. You're absolutely right. I mean, I could go, but I'd just be like, as you say, I'd be susceptible to all those women and their nasty behavior, and they could exclude me. What's that you say? They will exclude me? I knew it. I knew that they were all fake and phony and they couldn't be trusted, especially that Pastor Leanne. Oh, well, at least I have my handsome husband to go home to. Oh, what's that you say? You probably can't be trusted because all men are the same. Yeah, well, I have noticed, actually. You know, he's... I mean, if the Cherish Girls' Night has male dancers, just what are they doing at a merge? You know, I do think I have reason. You're right, I have reason to be concerned about my husband. It's concerning. It's really, really, really concerning. And my confidence has kind of dropped as I've been getting older, and men age so well, but women not so much. And maybe I need to just go get a whole lot of those fillers and that plastic surgery and stuff and get a whole new face. Done. I'm certainly in the city and the state for it. it's so true. All men are jerks and they can't be trusted. And well, when I go home, I'm going to give my husband a piece of my mind. Actually, you can just wait. And if he thinks he's getting any love making, then he's got another thing coming. Men, they just throw tantrums, they walk out of the room, they slam the door, they're all the same. You're so right. And the divorce rates, why do we even try? 50% of marriages end in divorce. Even more? Oh gosh, I might as well call the lawyer tonight. But thank God I have my health, right? You're right, the Delta variant. Jeez. And at that Awakened Church, none of them wear masks. You're absolutely right. They are very, very reckless. Very reckless. And you know what? My mother, I mean, she's in her 70s, but she had a heart condition many, many years ago. And, you know, like, in fact, I've kind of felt my heart palpitating. And I feel like maybe I've got it too. Do you think yeah, I definitely have it. Oh. And actually, I've got this mole. And it's getting bigger and redder. And I think it might be cancer. Do you think it might? Jeez, I don't know what to do. And I mean, it's like we're living in the end times. Like every day we wake up and it's like a new chapter out of the book of Revelation. And I'm just fearful for the future. Should I be fearful of the future? Should I be concerned? I mean, the Antichrist. I'm going to have to make provisions. I'm going to have to go get some freeze-dried food, start stockpiling it, find like a little cave hideout. So if anything goes down, I can get there and hide out until Jesus returns. I've read the Left Behind series books and I feel like all my concerns and my worries are so well founded. And it kind of just makes me scared for my kids, you know, the future for my kids. I have 4 children. 2 of them are married, but I keep thinking, you know, well, the divorce rates and anything. What hope do they have of their marriage surviving in this world with all the temptations and the worldliness? It's just so scary. It's overwhelming. I should feel overwhelmed, right? I should be very troubled and worried. And then I have 2 other kids, and one of them's at college. And of course, you know the statistics about college. All the things that kids get up to in college. I mean, the Bible says train up a child in the way they should go, but I never actually thought they would go. And my daughter, she's just about to turn 13. That's just trouble waiting to happen, isn't it? I mean, that's the age they rebel. That's the age they want to just hang out with their friends and they discard that. Like, we were BFFs. I mean, I remember her singing Barney like it was yesterday, and now she's wearing crop tops. What do I do? I've got so many problems, so many worries, so many concerns. I feel overwhelmed. What's that? You've got some friends that can help me? I love you. Since all my friends are back to stabbing betrayers, I need some new friends. Thank you. Oh, here they come. Oh, they look amazing. Oh, it's like the Fab 3. Your friends are savage. What are their names? Ah, control, fear, and manipulation. Are they going to help me get all my... Oh, they're going to take care of so many problems for me. thank you so much. I love your friends. But you know what? I feel like we've had a conversation before. I feel like I know you. In fact, I feel like I've known you since I was a little girl. What's your name again? Ah, Worry. Nice to meet you, Worry. I know, I am very funny. I was lying in bed and I'm thinking, how do I communicate to you how worry works? And I was lying there and I was actually worried about my worry message. I'm like, oh, this is just not okay. And so I said, Lord, you've got to help me. You've got to help me illustrate to these girls that you love how worry works and illustrate it in a way that will be unforgettable. So how many of you have put yourself in that scenario before? Who can say, man, I've seen myself there. Well, I'm so glad we're here together tonight because we are going to kick worry to the curb. We're going to kick worry to the curb. And I asked Ali to play the part of a beautiful, warm-looking old lady because that's how worry introduces itself into our lives. It's so easy to excuse because it's familiar. You know, we know that fear, control, and manipulation are bad, but worry just seems like something that we grow up with. Oh, I'm just a worrywart. Oh, I'm just worried about it. You know what? Worry is the gateway drug of the soul. And worry never travels alone. Worry has the fierce posse of fear, control, and manipulation that it utilizes in order to do its bidding. So today, I want to just really, my assignment from the Lord to you today, ladies, is to expose and then cancel worry's assignment over your life. We're going to expose it and we're going to cancel it because so many of you have been living without the peace that Jesus promised us because you've let worry have a seat at your table. So we're going to expose that wicked spirit tonight, and we're going to leave as free women. Are you ready? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Oh, can I just say I'm so relieved that went well because that could have been so awkward. I want to start by reading you a scripture. It's one of my favorite Bible stories, and I think you're really going to enjoy it, and we're going to set up the scene for the message. Okay, I'd love it if you turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter number 10, verses 38 to 42. It says this. Now it happened as they, talking about Jesus and his disciples, went, that he entered a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Can somebody say amen? Amen. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. I mean, you've got to kind of love Martha's moxie. She's got the savior of the world in her house and she's commanding him to do. She's telling him what to do. She's getting all up in his business. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried. There's that word. And troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. My question to you tonight, ladies, is who are you welcoming into your house? So we have a choice in this life to have a conversation with one of two people, worry or Jesus. One of them leads to immense trouble, The other leads to life and life in abundance. So I don't want you to answer yet. I want to make my case, and then I want you to make your answer, and then I want you to live by it. So I love this story about Mary and Martha, and often in this story, Martha is portrayed as the villain. She's the villain. She's that, you know, A-type sergeant woman who makes sure everything gets done, and if it's not done her way, then she's mad about it. And if people aren't dancing or moving to the beat of her drum, she's gonna let you know. And she ruins a beautiful environment that a dinner party should have, a moment of hospitality, a moment of dinner and relationship and conversation and great food. And she gets herself so wound up that she cuts the atmosphere of that room like a knife. And she storms in and she fractures a relationship with her sister because of her worry. I wonder how many fractured relationships are represented in this room today because we've not handled our worries and our troubles rightly. And divine, God-breathed relationships between us as sisters in the Lord have been fractured because we haven't dealt with our worry the right way. But what I love about Jesus is he doesn't point out the bleeding obvious. He doesn't actually talk about her issues. He doesn't point out the symptoms. Jesus goes straight to the root. He doesn't point out her behavior and say, that is highly inappropriate. And here I am, the savior of the world, in your house looking for a meal and looking for some rest and some respite, and you've ruined everything. He's so beautiful. He looks at her, and I believe when he looked at her, he kind of is looking at her in a way that showed so much love and so much compassion for the very real stresses. Stress is real. Problems exist. People let us down, these things happen, but he looked at her and he put all that aside and he said to her, Martha, your big issue is you're worried and you're troubled about many things. But you know what Martha did that was awesome? She invited Jesus into her house for the conversation. She actually went and poured out her complaint to the right person. So today I want to talk to you about what it means to choose the better thing. Because it's easy when we read the book, when we read this story of Mary and Martha, to look at Jesus saying to Martha, and we're kind of getting the cliff notes of probably what was a much longer conversation. The disciples are writing it down, they're scribes, so they're just getting like the bullet points. But I imagine Jesus had a conversation with Martha because he cared about her and he loved her, and he said to her, and he actually told her, here's how to choose the better thing. So I don't want to just point my finger at you today because that wouldn't do anything. I actually want to give you some practical points on how to choose the better thing. How do we choose the better thing? How do we choose peace when worries, concern, trial, tribulations surround us? How do we choose Jesus when worry is a very willing conversationalist, ready to sit at our table and converse with us at any given moment? Amen. Let's be honest. Most of us don't want chaos in our lives. Hands up if you want chaos and drama in your life. Move mic from mouth. Where's my mic? That side? Somebody help me. Come on. I'm not going to find it. I got hair. I got earrings. Thank you. Are we good? There we go. All right. You good now? No more crackling. All right, I'm sorry, everyone. Yes, is that much better? All right. So most of us don't want chaos. We don't want drama. We don't want all that. And I believe that Martha didn't want it either. I reckon at the beginning of the night, she had this perfect plan of how it was going to look. They were going to have, you know, some really cool awakened worship music playing when Jesus walked in, and the food would be set out and the lamb would be roasted perfectly and the bread would be crisp and beautiful. They put little garlic flakes on it and sprinkled it with parsley and looked amazing. You know, I reckon she had this dream and this expectation in her head of how it was going to look. And then all of a sudden she sees her sister at the feet of Jesus and she's frazzled because, you know, she's got so much to do, and the first thing she does is she blames because it doesn't look how she thought she was going to look. And then she feels like she can't control herself, and I just freak out. I can't. You created this monster. My life's a mess and it's everybody else's fault. I don't reckon she wanted that. I reckon she had plans for the evening to look very different. And I reckon most of us do. We don't go into our day or any circumstance hoping that we can bring chaos and drama and say and do things that we regret. We don't want our divine relationships to be fractured. We want to live with peace. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So every single day, here's the truth of it, you and I are going to be presented with a choice. What was Jesus offering Martha? An invitation to do as Mary was doing. Instead of choosing worry that only leads to trouble, to sit at the feet of Jesus and allow herself to let his words guide her. Every day we're going to be presented with a choice. Can I tell you today, ladies, there is a bidding war over who is going to get your day. Every time you wake up, there is a bidding war. Worry is petitioning like an auctioneer trying to get the rights to your day. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 to 9, that we are to stand firm in the faith and we are to resist the devil at his onset. Resist the devil at his onset. In the morning when you wake up and it's like worry wakes up with you. And that little sweet old woman there that's so familiar and so comforting and has whispered words that get you wound up since you're a kid is waiting for you at your bedside to try to win the bidding war. Resist him at his onset.
Amen.
Amen. So how do we choose better? I'm going to give you four. I want to give you practical keys on how to choose better, how to choose peace, how to choose Jesus, and how to kick worry to the curb. The first one is this. Take one day at a time. Take one day at a time. Matthew 6:34 says this. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. So I wonder if even during the course of this cherished night, you've been sat down and you're already distracted about, oh, the kids' lunch is tomorrow. Oh, and this one has a dentist appointment. And oh, and when I get home, you're going to miss out on what God is wanting to do right now because your head is already in 2022. And then you wonder why you can't sleep at night because you time travel every day. It's exhausting. And some of you are not just time traveling into the future, you're going back in the past. And you're digging all kinds of stuff up and this thing your husband did and didn't do and said or didn't say. And then you're dragging that into the future. And then you wonder why you can't sleep. I don't know why I wake up and I'm exhausted when I wake up. Oh, me, I do. One day at a time. This is what Jesus said. He said, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has trouble enough of its own. Take one day at a time. I remember just recently, it was just before COVID hit, and I was asked to preach at the biggest women's conference, I think, in the world, Color Conference, Hillsong Color Conference. And they had arranged and appointed me to speak 15 times in 7 days. And I remember getting there and like just feeling myself unravel. Like I was winding up in my soul had no rest. I was not sleeping. I was obsessing about it. And I remember Mike Connell, praise God for Mike Connell. And I would literally, when I would think about the burden and the worry of that responsibility, and I know today what is represented here is a lot of burden and responsibility. So I'm not trying to diminish what you're called to do and what you carry. But I remember just being so wound up about it and getting myself into a state. And every time I would think about it, I would be so worried and so nervous, it felt like I was going to cry. And Mike Connell, thank God, We're at a church meeting, just like this, and he pulled me out. He said, "You're worried and you're troubled about what you're going to preach. You got this big opportunity, and you've been worried and troubled about what you're going to minister, what you're going to say, and how you're going to do it." And I just hear the Lord saying, "He's going to give you the words. Just take one day at a time. Just preach one message at a time." And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, I can do that." I mean, I love multitaskers, but I can think about one thing at once. And so many of us, we're like 20 steps in the future, and we're winding ourselves up, and we're not present in today. And that's why a lot of you, if I can be very candidly honest, aren't able to make love to your husbands, because you're so wound up in your head. You're like, "How could I possibly, how dare you even ask? You're evil. Leave me alone." Because in your head, again, you're in 2022 when you've got all this, you cannot be present in the moment. Jesus said, "Please take one day at a time." When Jesus is speaking, he means it. Whatever he's saying, he means what he says. Focus on the right now. Corey Ten Boom said this. She said, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, but it does empty today of its strength." When I was a little girl, I would obsess about what could possibly go wrong. And I'd be, again, months, sometimes years ahead in my thinking about what could potentially go wrong. And my mom is a typical Aussie mom. And she used to look at me and she'd go, "Leanne Edith." That's my middle name, Edith. I know it's a shocking revelation. "Leanne Edith, you stop borrowing trouble. And I want you to hear the word of the Lord from the prophet Val Gray, my mummy tonight. You stop borrowing trouble. Don't reach into your future and try to borrow trouble from the future. Just take today. Father, I thank you that your mercy is new every morning. That's all I need." He said, "You're going to need new mercy every morning, so I'm going to make sure that I have a fresh baked batch for you." You know, mercy is like manna. Yeah. Wow. They got a fresh lot of manna every single day. God gave them enough for the day. God is going to give you enough mercy for the day. But if you're trying to grab mercy for 5 years from now, you'll find that you're going to exhaust yourself. Just take today for what today is. And God has so blessed us with the ability to go to bed and reset. Yeah. Yeah. And some of you need to stop fretting. You need to write down on a piece of paper all those cares, all those concerns, entrust them to the Lord, and then go to bed. Put your head on the pillow and know that just like the Bible says, God has got the night watch. That's what he tells us in the Psalms. He said, the Bible says in the Psalms, "The Lord your God neither sleeps nor slumbers." Isn't that good news? Do you know what that means? You and I can. We can sleep because he never sleeps. So while you're winding yourself up about what could happen tomorrow, God's already in your future, by the way. He's like, I'm gonna be there and help you with the heavy lifting and help you deal with any problem you need. But I don't want you to borrow trouble. I want you to sleep. I want you to refresh yourself and then wake up and receive that day's fresh batch of mercy. Take one day at a time. Don't borrow trouble. The second way we choose the better thing is this. Recognize what is a daddy job. This is another one of my mum, the prophet Val Gray's favorite sayings. I remember one day we were walking out the front door and the door fell off its hinges. Like literally, like the door fell off. It was so random. And we were getting ready to go. I'm like, "Oh, mum, should we fix it? I mean, the door fell off its hinges." She's like, "Oh no, I can't fix that. That's a daddy job. That's a daddy job." And I wonder how many times we are winding ourselves up and turning ourselves inside out, trying to fix something we don't have the power to fix because it's a daddy job. It's a daddy job.
So good.
If you can't fix it, if it is not within your power to fix it, look at me, this is going to be a very profound statement. don't try. Stop trying to fix the things that are not, you are not empowered to fix. This is what the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:6-8. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Set aside self-righteous pride. Some of us have the audacity to think that we can fix things that only God can fix. And then we wonder why we're so flippin' stressed. And we wonder why everybody around us is stressed. And we wonder why we have no peace. And we wonder why we can't sleep at night. It's because we're trying to do the daddy jobs. Don't try to do the daddy job. Says, set aside your self-righteous pride so that he may exalt you to a place of honor in his service at the appropriate time. Now look at this. Casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, and all your concerns once and for all on him, Daddy, for he cares about you with deepest affection and he watches over you very carefully. Do you know that the word worry comes from the root English word that means to strangle, to choke? So when you choose to sit down and have a conversation with worry, you are choosing to choke yourself. The Bible says choke or torment or harass yourself. When you take on those daddy jobs and don't cast them, you end up being choked by them. Wow. But let me talk a little bit about what it means to cast your cares, because prayer isn't laziness. Prayer is an intentional action where I'm saying, God, this is too big for me. I cannot fix this. I mean, I know that you guys have been there where you've had some daddy-sized problems. You've tried to fix them yourselves and you've only managed to make it worse. But now God is saying, I almost see a picture of the Lord saying, you finished yet? You done? You ready for me to actually really take care of business? You done turning yourself inside out? You done tormenting and harassing everybody around you because you're trying to fix an unfixable problem? Tell me when you're done, because I'm ready, because your toolkit ain't working. I know worry told you that you could deploy fear, control, and manipulation, but how's that working for you? Your husband really can't stand you. Your kids are scared of you. Your friends don't like you. Maybe it's time to let daddy do the daddy job. Worry is the fruit of pride. Saying, I can fix something instead of allowing the Lord to fix it. Like, you're the savior of the world. Why would God send a savior? Why would he send Jesus the savior if you were the savior? Just doesn't make sense. So what is worry? Because we all feel worries. It's normal, isn't it? Yeah, I don't want you to feel condemned today. But what is worry then? Yeah. Worry is a signal to pray. When you feel that urge to worry and to converse with the sweet little old lady that you've known since you were a kid, resist it. Resist the devil at his onset and instead recycle that worry into a prayer. Recycle it into a prayer. The Bible says this, and I believe it's a scripture that every woman needs to put on her mirror in Philippians 6:7. Don't worry about anything. Let me say it one more time. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. I want to stop there for a second, because you were taught there are some things you can't pray about. Either that's too big or that's too small. Like, God can only answer medium prayers. So the worry issue is in your life because you've believed a lie that there are some things that you can't pray about, or some things that God can't tend to, or some things that God can't fix. And it's wrong. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Pray about all of it, all the concerns in your heart, your concerns about your children, your concerns about your health, your fears. Prayer and casting your cares is not denial. Not today, devil. sometimes we have to replace the thought. We have to replace the thought, not with something that's just blank, but with a faith confession, with a prayer. God, I acknowledge today that I feel afraid. I acknowledge today that I'm nervous. I'm nervous about living in California right now. And I want to tell you that I've got some energy around it, but I know that worrying isn't going to help me. So I pray to you today, God, and I commit it to you. Father, your hand is upon this state. You are bigger than Gavin Newsom. You are bigger than the wicked man. You are bigger than the evil forces at work in our schools that are trying to indoctrinate our children in the way of confusion and hatred. You are bigger than that. I don't worry about it. I pray about it. I pray. And then the Bible says something's going to happen, something miraculous, a miracle will happen when you choose prayer instead of worry. Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guide your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. There's that peace. There's that peace that Martha was missing and wanting and Mary was enjoying. Why? Because Mary sat at his feet. She sat at the source of peace. And instead of conversing with worry, she conversed with Jesus. Maybe you're worried because you've got some unprayed prayers in your outbox.
So good, baby.
Prayer helps your soul relax.
Yes.
And you might say today, well, how long do I pray every time you're worried? How long do I pray? Till peace comes. Till peace replaces the worry in your heart and you release it to God. God, I can't fix this, but I know you can. I hand it to you. I hand it to you. Recognize what is a daddy job. All right, I will drink to that. The third way we can choose the better thing. Always remember that your Heavenly Father knows what you need. He looks at this room tonight and he doesn't see a crowd. He sees a whole lot of beautiful daughters that he loves. And he knows each of you by name. The Bible says he knows all the hairs on your head. He is acquainted with all your ways. He knows more about you than you know about you. And he looks at you and he knows your heart's desires. He knows your fears. He knows the things you're concerned about. He knows your dreams for the future. He knows your heartbreaks and how it felt when you felt rejected or brokenhearted. He knows it all. He knows your story. How beautiful. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need. Imagine how much less you would worry if you really had a revelation of the fact that your Heavenly Father knows what you need. You don't even necessarily need to make hints like you do with your husband. You don't have to leave the catalog out on the table or text your PA and say, send this to Jürgen so he can get me this for Christmas. You don't need to do any of that. God actually knows you. And he's a wonderful husband. But, you know, faith without hints is dead. So, listen to this scripture. This is Jesus speaking again, so take note. Matthew chapter 6, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food? Jesus is getting everybody's priorities right. And the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Think about that. You are valuable. You are valuable. You have value. When God looks at you, he smiles. He really loves you. He really likes you. And when he put you together and he made you in his imagination, he liked it. He liked you. I like her. I like her. Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. God looks after what belongs to him. Look at how he fashioned a flower. Look at how he cares for a bird. Some of you may think they're insignificant. I happen to like birds, but all I'm trying to tell you today, if he cares about a bird, if he cares about how a flower looks, how much more does he care about you? If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you?
Yep.
Think about that for a second. You know, sometimes we can, you know, God isn't actually even that impressed sometimes with utility. Oh, it looks good for today. That's awesome. That'll do. But God is just going to get ruined. But it looks great today. We can enjoy it today. Isn't that awesome? Oh, God, that's wasteful. It's only going to last for a day, so it's going to be fabulous while it lasts. Your God is so extra. So do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. They worry about that stuff. God's saying, I got you taken care of. You seek first my kingdom and its righteousness, and then trust me, all those added things that the pagans have to scramble for and scratch and bite and poke and pimp in order to get done, you're just going to get them. They're just going to happen as a consequence of following and trusting and having confidence in me. I love that in this story, Jesus refers to God as our Heavenly Father. And he was making a point to those people that only saw God as some kind of mean, nasty, legalistic overlord in the sky. He introduced him as your Father. Your Father knows what you need. Maybe today you're stressed and you've come out of a season of lack and you are worried and troubled because there are things that you're needing to be supplied, things that you're needing to happen in your world. I want you to know today your Heavenly Father knows you. And he knows what you need. You don't need to worry. Commit it to him in prayer. Cast it to him in prayer and understand that when you pray, your Heavenly Father hears. Your answer is on its way. God is not oblivious to your situation. He knows what you need. He knows you need work. He knows your children need education. He knows you need health. He knows you need food. He knows you need security. If a bird isn't worried, then you shouldn't be either. I've never seen a bird sitting on a branch having a breakdown about where its next worm is going to come from. How many people believe you're more important than a bird? Your Heavenly Father knows what you need. And then finally, in order to do the better thing, to choose Jesus, to choose peace over worry, you've got to change the playlist in your head. Got to change the play. What are you rehearsing in your mind? The Bible says in John 14, verse 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. Some of you are letting your hearts be troubled. What's Jesus saying here? You take responsibility for what you let into your heart. So some of you are rehearsing things in your head that are putting trouble in your heart, worry and trouble in your heart. And you're thinking about everything that could go wrong. And you're thinking about all the negative stuff. And you're thinking about all the times people let you down, or this didn't happen, or that didn't happen, or whatever it may be. So you're not setting yourself up with an expectation that God is going to come through. It's all going to be okay. I don't need to worry. Change the playlist in your head. Over and over again in the Bible, God said, I want you to declare my mighty acts to your children. I want you to send the word of God's praise and declare it from one generation to the next. Why? So you and I would have the right playlist in our head. Worry can create spiritual amnesia. So I want you to purposefully and intentionally think about what God has done in the past. I mean, when you really think about it, in some of the greatest crises you've been through, hasn't God come through for you?
Yeah.
Hasn't it worked out? You're not dead. You're sitting here at Cherish. All is going to be well. You're going to be okay. God is with you. Change the playlist in your head. We have the responsibility in order to guard our hearts, So what we let in there is only going to bring us peace and trust and confidence in God and not rob from us. I remember it was about 2 years ago. I went to the beautician and I was getting a few little things done to my face. I was getting some facials and look, okay, everybody gets Botox. We'll just get it out there. Just relax. If you don't, I'm not judging you, so don't judge me. Clearly, I have partaken. I have Spock eyebrows every now and then, okay? Just saying. I'm 46. And so I went, and I thought, I'm gonna get this done. And there were, like, an incident happened. And I was punctured in a nerve, and it actually, it blocked the nerve, so my skin was dying, and I didn't know it. I know. So I went home and I'm like, oh, that's quite a bruise. And within an hour, one side of my face was completely blue and my skin was starting to die. And I can't remember exactly what the term was they told me. I think I've blocked it out. But it was traumatic. And then I went back and I'm like, is this normal? And they're freaking out going, no, but we don't know what it is. And they tried to fix it, but they didn't do it right. And so I went through a season, a very traumatic, anxiety-laden season of not knowing whether I wasn't going to have serious facial scars, requiring plastic surgery. And I remember looking, I mean, it wasn't like it was my arm or my leg and I could just wear pants or a long-sleeve shirt. Like, this was my face. I was like, one side of my face, I could have played Beauty and the Beast. I could have played both parts. Beauty, Beast. It was terrible. I needed one of those like Phantom of the Opera masks. Here comes Pastor Leon. Da, 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 da. The Phantom of the Opera is here. I would have had to have gone into the theater to be accepted. So this was happening. It was real. I can joke about it now, but I was so scared because it was the face. It was the moneymaker. So anxious because the people that were tampering with me didn't know how to fix me and they didn't have any answers, and the girl who did it just looked at me and started crying. I'm like, you're not instilling confidence. I had to go every day, and my PA Colby can tell you she had to drive me every day, and I had to have all these needles in my face and drive all over, and at the same time I'm preaching in church. Hi everyone. I had to get on with my life, but I couldn't even sleep at night because I'd wake up in the morning and I'd just be reminded. And then the condemnation, Leanne, you're so vain. Why couldn't you just leave yourself alone? All these thoughts. Has anyone ever been there? Clearly not with my individual issue, because I was apparently the only person in Southern California that happened to. Wow. But I'd the anxiety I felt was palpable and it was real. Am I always? I remember talking to my husband, who was so beautiful through the whole thing. I mean, my kids, however, were not. Mom, what happened to your face? You used to be so beautiful. Oh, I'm a monster. Don't look at me. And I was. I should have put a photo up. I mean, I've got photos. I'm in some medical journal somewhere. You're welcome. And my husband, he was so beautiful throughout the whole thing. He said, Leanne, you can choose to go to worry and anxiety, or you can choose to go to the Word and look to Jesus as your healer. He said, you've got a choice right now. I remember standing, I was in the shower, naked and scarred, crying, because it just feels more dramatic to cry in the shower. The whole world is crying with me. It feels so pathetic. Just a chasm, a glass cage of emotion. And it literally lifted me up. And I'm like, you are, no, I'm not going to choose worry and anxiety. I'm going to choose to sit at the feet of Jesus. Things are going to be okay. My skin is going to be healed, and I'm going to have a miraculous turnaround. I'm not going to be scarred. I'm not taking your condemnation, devil. I can't change it. Even if I wasn't meant to get that injection, I got it. It is what it is. I'm moving forward, and I'm going to believe God to heal me. I'm leaving the shame in the past. I'm leaving the pain, the worry, and the anxiety. You know what I did? I got up. I put so much makeup on my face, like it was that thick. And then I put a hat on my head, and I thought, I'm not stopping my life. I'm choosing faith. I'm choosing to walk with Jesus. And I went to Costco, and I bought a Christmas tree. It's exactly what I did. Change the playlist in your head. Did I have something to be worried about? Yes. Was it concerning? Yes. Did I know in my own flesh or strength that things were going to work out perfectly? No. But I chose to go to the Word of God instead of worry. I want to tell you today, don't let the worries of the world choke the Word in you. The Bible tells us in the book of Matthew in the parable of the sower who went to sow the seed, that some seed fell on ground and it was choked by the worries of the world. Worry wants to choke the Word in you. But in Jesus' name, declare the Word. Send the Word out into your future. When you're worried, send that Word out. When your kid has gone astray, send that Word out. When you're depressed or lonely and you're perplexed about how life looks, send out a Word into your future. Don't let the Word be choked in your life. Release it and declare it. God is with you, God is with you, God is with you. And more than anything, I want you to know today, one of the greatest reasons you don't need to live with worry is because it wasn't anything that God intended you to live with. When Jesus left, he didn't go, my worry I give to you, my worry I leave with you. Later, skaters. I'm going to sit at the right hand of the Father. Oh, sucks for you guys. Sucks to suck. See you in a few. He didn't do that. He said, you know what, guys? My peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives. Not as the world gives. I give it to you. I give it to you. I give you my peace. Your inheritance from your heavenly Father is peace. It's not worry. It's peace. It's peace. It's peace. It's peace. Don't you leave your inheritance uncollected. I wonder how many of us have you heard about those websites with all those uncollected inheritances? And there's like millions and millions and millions of dollars. I reckon tons of us are going to get to heaven. Wow. This was your inheritance and you never collected on it. I left you peace and you didn't collect, you nitwit. Get in here, you little scamp. Kick your butt into heaven. You don't need peace up there. You need it here. That's why Jesus said, I'm going to leave it. I don't need it where I'm going, but you will. You're going to need it. Because there will be days when your husband walks out or your kids break your heart or some random nurse injects something into your face in the wrong spot, and you are going to need some peace. My peace. God's peace is your promise. It's your inheritance. The Word of God will drive out the poison that worry tries to bring. So I ask you today, just like Jesus asked Martha, it was an invitation. You know what Mary's doing? Let me make the distinction. She's at peace because she's choosing the better thing. If you're not at peace today, could it be because you're not choosing the better thing? That you're choosing to sit at the table with worry, aka Ali Anderberg, who played the part of worry so beautifully. You're sitting there to have a conversation with worry instead of choosing the better thing, sitting at his feet and listening to his words. His words are life-giving. His words are healing. His words bring joy. His words give you strength. His words put encouragement in you. Sitting at the table with worry leads to nothing but trouble. We're going to make a change. We're going to kick worry to the curb. And we're going to be women who are famous throughout all of San Diego of being people, women of faith, who sit at the feet of Jesus and choose the better thing. We are not going to sabotage the dinner parties of life anymore. All the times they are changing because we're going to take after Mary. We are going to choose the better thing. Stand to your feet. Right now, I just want you to lift your hands to the Lord. Just lift them. Just take a minute just to receive right now an impartation of faith, an impartation of grace, an impartation of joy, of strength, of courage. Things can be better than they've been. Tomorrow morning, when worry comes a knocking in the bidding war for your soul, respond by opening the door and say, I am not for sale. I have already been bought with a price. Worry, I am not going to engage with you anymore. I won't converse with you anymore. And when I feel that worry, I'm going to recycle that worry into a prayer, and I'm going to send out the word of God into my future, knowing that I will walk into a harvest of it. Father, I thank you right now that you are breaking the chains that the enemy has these women shackled to. Some of you have a soul tie with worry. You have a soul, you are attached to problems, and problems find you and you don't like it. You're like Martha. Why does this keep happening to me? Because you have a soul tie with problems because you constantly go to worry. So right now, if you feel like that's you, I want you to lift your hands. We take authority over that right now. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over that wicked spirit of fear that manifests in worry, control, manipulation. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I break its hold. I break and I cut that cord. Father, and I thank you right now, God, that you impart these beautiful women with a spirit of faith, of trust and confidence in their Heavenly Father who knows what they need. And Father, I thank you right now that this group of women would be known as a group of women who know how to lift their voices in prayer. That we would be famous as prayer warriors, of people who know how to fight right, fight right. We don't use the weapons of the flesh. We don't use the weapons of the enemy's kingdom. Father, we use the weapons of our warfare. Father, we send up our prayers to you, knowing that you hear us. Father, I thank you for these women tonight. I thank you for a spirit of faith to come into this place right now. And for peace, peace that surpasses understanding, to guard their hearts and minds in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen.
Thanks for listening. To find out more about our locations, team, and what we do here at Awaken Church, go to awakenchurch.com.